Begin the current daf Masechet Beis daf Tezayin. Begin on the bottom line of Tezvav and Beis, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, discussing the mitzvah of Simchas Yomtiv. And our Gemara will go into the preparations that are going into the mitzvah of Simchas Yomtiv from before the Yomtiv. So the Gemara brings Tanur Rav Tachlifa Achud Rav Benoi Chazoi. That Rav Tachlifa brought the following brayso, who is the brother of Rav Benoi Chazoi, and we continue on top of Tezayin and Aleph, that Kol Mazay Noisiv Shel Adam. All the sustenance of a person, in other words, whatever money he's going to make that year, that from that he'll have a sustenance, ketzuvim lo, are set already. That's how much money he's going to make in this year. And therefore, Rashi tells us, a person should be careful from expending more money than he needs to, because they're not going to increase any more money during the year, only what he got. That is, as the Gemara tells us, Mereish Hashanah, but Yom Kippurim, it has been designated for Mereish Hashanah, until the next Yom Kippur, and some have the gear, says the Bach, brings till Rosh Hashanah. In other words, from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, or till Yom Kippur, a person's set amount of money that he's going to get, that he'll have sustenance from the whole year, is already set, and therefore he shouldn't be spending more, because he's not going to get an increase. Chutz, except for the following exceptions. Moitzar Shabbos, from the money spent for Shabbos, for Yitzar's Yomtiv, and that's with the discussion that we were discussing in the previous daf, for the expenses for Yomtiv. For Yitzar's Banim l'Talmud Torah, and for the expenses of a person's children to learning Torah, that has not been said how much money the person is going to get that he needs or where it's going to come from. Rather, whatever he's accustomed to that he's going to have to spend, he's going to get then or later, that money has not been defined in Rosh Hashanah. And that Hashem pichas poichsan, like, if he spends less on Shabbos, less on Yom Tov, less on his son's learning Torah, then that's exactly what it's going to be. Poichsan loy, they're going to give him less money. But if he increases the money, if he spends more on these things, then they're going to increase for him, then he's going to have more money to spend on the learning and Shabbos and Yom Tov. Now, Amr Bavo asked, Mikra, what's the pasuk that we see this concept that a person's mezainus, his sustenance, all his money that he's going to get through the year has already been set in Rosh Hashanah? So he brings a pasuk in Tehillim that says, Tiku b'chodesh, blow on the month, which literally means the renewal, shofar with a shofar, b'kesa l'yom chageinu, for the day that's appointed for our Yom Tov. Now, the b'kesa l'yom chageinu is in context, is in reference to the word b'chodesh. That is, blow by the renewal of the moon, they blow a shofar. When do you blow it? Which is b'kesa l'yom chageinu, which is the day of our Yom Tov, which is covered. Now, as the Gemara explains, ezehu chag shachidish miskasaboy, which Yom Tov has it that the moon is covered on that day? And that is, that it's not visible for anybody. Rather, a little bit in the morning time for those who are in the east, and in the evening time for those who are in the west. As the Gemara says, Rosh Hashanah, they have 24 hours when the new month begins. The moon is totally covered, totally concealed, and that's actually how they would start the new month, by seeing a small sliver. People would say, oh, we saw the beginning of it, and that would be the beginning, the first day, Rish Chodesh, of that month. So on that, by way of explanation is, what is Tikku B'Chodesh Shofar? When we blow the shofar by the renewal, by a month, where it's by Keslem Chageinu that that Yom Tov has actually, the moon is covered during that Yom Tov. Havayim is Rosh Hashanah. Obviously, that's a reference to Rosh Hashanah, because every other Yom Tov, then already the moon has already filled out a little bit, and therefore it's seen all over. Only Rosh Hashanah is when it's covered, and it's just a little bit seen, a little bit in the morning, a little bit in the evening. Now, so therefore, since that's a reference to Rosh Hashanah, Uchsev in the next pasuk says, Ki chok li Yisrael hu mishpat li Yaakov, because literally chok means a statute for the Jewish people, is the day of judgment for the God of Jacob. In other words, as we said, there's a reference to Rosh Hashanah when there's the din, when there's the judgment of the Jewish people. Now, however, the word chok means something else, which in this context would define that as, when is the mishpat li Yaakov, the justice, the decision for the din on Rosh Hashanah will be for chok. And that is my mashma the haychak lishan de mizaynehu. What do we see from this pasuk? As the Gemara wants to explain, that we see that a person's mizaynehs, our ketsuvin, are set from Rosh Hashanah, and that is understood in the word of kichak. The chesiv, like it says, the pasuk in Bereishis, ma'achu eschukam asher noslam pari, that the Egyptians ate up the set amount of rations that pari had given to them. So we see that the term chak is reference to mizaynehs, and therefore we see that a chak li Yisrael is when is a mishpat li Yaakov on the day of Rosh Hashanah, because that's what the pasuk is talking about. Tikku B'chodesh Shofar, when is the month that's B'keslem Chageinu, that's the moon is covered, that's the Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah, and therefore that's where we see that the chak, the sustenance of the Jewish people, are set on that day. Or another source that we see that the word chag means sustenance is Mazutra al-Mahachav from a pasuk in Mishlei. It says, Hatrifeni lechem chuki, give me the bread of my rations. Again, seeing that chag is a reference to a person's sustenance. And that's how we know that a person's mezainis are ketsuvin lo, except for certain exceptions, like at Tzar Shabbos, it says Yamtiv, and Banav l'tamatara. Now, relating to this halacha that we said regarding spending money for Shabbos needs, so Tanya learned the Braisa that Amru Lav al Shammai Hazakin, it was said regarding Shammai the Elder, Kol Yamav Haya Oichel L'Chavayit Shabbos. Every single day, he would eat L'Chavayit Shabbos in the honor of Shabbos. Now, how do you do that? Shabbos is only one out of 7 days. Matzah Behemin Noah, let's say you found a beautiful animal, in other words, a good piece of meat. So Oimer Zula Shabbos, he said, this will be for Shabbos. Now, Matzah Cheres Nohamene, but if let's say later on he found a better piece of meat, a better animal, so Manich Ez HaShneh, then he would put away the second one for Shabbos, V'Oichel Ez HaRishon, and then he would eat the first animal. Now, what comes out is that it shows that eating of this one, in other words, the first one that he had, by now saving the second one, is a demonstration of Kavod Shabbos, because he's showing that he's eating this now so that he can have the second one, which is better for Shabbos. So eating this one now is an act of Kavod Shabbos, of making way for the better one for Shabbos. So therefore, he was always eating L'Kavod Shabbos, because everything he had, whatever he found, the best thing first, the best thing was Shabbos, and then he found the better one, and the better one, and everything he ate was L'Kavod Shabbos. Aval, however, the Gemara tells us that Hil Hazaka and Mida Cheres Haisalai. Hil the elder had a different Mida, different principle that he would use in guiding how he would eat. Shekol Maisav L'Shem Shemaim. Actually, all his acts were for the sake of heaven. And that is, he was confident, which was in his level of betochen, that he was going to get something beautiful for Shabbos. Shem, like says a pasuk in Tehillim, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, Hashem Shavi is blessed every single day. And that is, he didn't eat set away on Sunday, on Monday, Tuesday for Shabbos. He ate for Sunday, ate for Monday. And on Shabbos, he was guaranteed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him the most beautiful thing that he needs for Shabbos. Tanya Hamacha, similar in the Braisa, the Bishami say, Mechad Shavik. That is, already from the first day of the week, on Sunday, L'Shabbatich, you should already start thinking about the coming Shabbos, start preparing for Shabbos. All week should be eating L'Kavod Shabbos. We still say, no, Baruch Hashem, Yom Yom. Hashem is blessed every single day. Every single day, Hashem gives us what we need. So today I eat for Sunday, not for Shabbos, Monday for Monday. And Shabbos, Hashem will give me the most beautiful thing that I need for Shabbos. Now, regarding the idea of Shabbos, and the schar that a person gets for honoring Shabbos, Amr B'cham Reb Chanina. Hanoisin Maton L'Chaveri. So the Gemara introduces it by the way of the following halacha. Someone that gives a gift to his friend, in Tzarech Leidi, he does not have to notify him, where the person might be sitting and thinking, wait a second, where did this come from? You do not have to notify him. Shneim like says a pasuk in Shemais, says a Moshe lo yada, the Moshe didn't know, ki karen arpanav, that his skin was shining light from coming out of him. So obviously that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him this karen arpanav, this shining from his face, and he didn't notify him because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know. So you see, when you do a favor for somebody, which was what Hashem did with Moshe, give him this great gift of light, you don't have to notify him. On that Mesa, the Gemara asks, the pasuk in Shemais, in the beginning of the pasuk says, Achesh abseisit ishmayr, however, but my Shabbos you should safeguard. Now the Gemara's question is, what is Ladas Kani Hashem Mikadishchem? What does the end of the pasuk say that you should know, because I am Hashem who has sanctified you? So now the Gemara is saying that Hashem wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to tell the Jewish people, what type of a gift I want to give them. I want them to know what I'm giving them. Amla Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe. Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Moshe, Matana Toiva Yeshla B'Beis Gunazai. There's an unbelievable gift that I have in my treasure house, V'Shabbashma, and its name is Shabbos. V'ani Mevakesh Litn L'Yisrael, and I desire to give this to the Jewish people. Lech V'di Yisem, go and notify them. I want them to know what I'm going to give them. Mekan Amir Shem Gamliel, and from this, Halach Reb Shem Gamliel brings a source. Then a Nusin Pasla Tinnik, if someone gives a child a piece of bread, Tzarech Lidi Elimoy, you have to notify the mother, you have to do some type of a sign that when the child eats it up, before he comes to his mother, the mother should realize and notice what he ate up. She's going to ask him, wait a second, who did that for you? Who gave you this gift? Who gave you that candy? And the child's going to say, oh, this person. And he also gave me bread. Now, through that, the father and the mother of the child will come to appreciate that person and love him, and will increase joy and friendship amongst the Jewish people. And that comes from this idea that the person that you're doing a favor for, you should notify them that they should come to appreciate it, and that will increase friendship and love amongst the Jewish people. But be that as it may, there's a contradiction between these two sources. When you do a favor for somebody, you give him a gift, do you have to notify him, as we see Moshe Rabbein, Hashem did not tell Moshe? Or do you find that you do have to, as we find that he said regarding Shabbos, that he said, go notify them, I want them to know what I'm doing for them. Another Gemara says, Leikash, it's not a contradiction, because it depends. Ha, this that we said, you do not have to notify them when you give them a gift, is b'matana, da David lagluye, when it's a gift that is ultimately going to end up becoming revealed. For example, when Hashem gave the radiance of Moshe Rabbeinu's skin, where the people that saw him notified him. And therefore, Hashem didn't have to tell him because people are pulling away and looking, whoa, there's this great light. And Moshe Rabbeinu's like, what's going on? So they'll tell him why. So Hashem didn't have to tell him. Ha, this that we say that when you do a favor to somebody, you have to notify them, is b'matana, d'la'avid l'gluya, is a gift where it's not going to end up being revealed. Then when you give a child something, where the child's not going to tell the parents, then you have to do something, something assigned to give him. The parents are going to ask, hey, what's that all about? So I said, oh, this man gave me, you know, he also gave me a piece of bread, so that increases friendship, because or else the child will never tell the parent. Now that the Gemara asked, but that source of that halacha was regarding Shabbos, where we said that Hashem told Moshe, tell the Jewish people I'm going to give them Shabbos, but Shabbos nami matana David likluye. However, Shabbos is a gift that ultimately will be revealed. Everybody knows about what to do on Shabbos, lamates malachas. There's many halachas that the Jewish people would know. Why did Hashem have to tell Moshe to go tell them as if they're not going to know that they're getting Shabbos from Hashem? Now the Gemara answer is, matan schara David likluye. What he did need them to know was they won't really know what gift they're getting. Oh, they'll know they can't do these malachas, they know they have to do this, and many, many halachas, but he wanted them to know what a real gift it is, and that he had to notify, which is the reward, the great reward for keeping Shabbos, that they would not have known, and since it wasn't loyavid l'gluye, that's why he told Moshe Rabbeinu to go tell the Jewish people. Now, Amamar, one of the halachas that we quoted before was that mikanam shem gamliel, from this that Hashem told Moshe to tell the Jewish people about the Shabbos, And as the Gemara just explained regarding the great reward for keeping Shabbos, which is something, a gift they would not have known about. So from there, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel brings a source that if someone gives a piece of bread to a child, you have to notify the mother. How do you notify the mother? You do something to the child that then the mother's going to ask, hey, what's that all about? And you say, oh, this person did to me, and you know, he also gave me a piece of bread. So the Gemara asks, my ovidly, what do you do to the child that the child, the mother will then ask, hey, what's that all about? That then they'll end up finding out that you gave the child a piece of bread. Then the Gemara says, Shayifle mishcha, you rub him with oil, umal lekuchlo, or you put this type of eye paint around his eyes, and then the mother's going to say, hey, what's going on with you? And he says, oh, this person did it to me, oh, and he also gave me a piece of bread. However, the Gemara says, v'idin d'chashin l'chashafimai, however, today where we're concerned about witchcraft, where if someone comes out with these dye around the eyes and smeared with oil, people might think that there's something, a spell that was cast upon the child, and we don't want to do that, to that people should be suspicious about that. So what should we do that the mother will ask about the child, what happened? So now, Papa, you rub him from that thing that you gave him. So if, let's say you gave him a honey candy, so then you smear some honey on him and it'll be a little bit dirty. And the mother will be like, hey, what's that all about? He says, oh, this person did it to me and they also gave me this honey candy. Now the Gemara continues talking about Shabbos. All the mitzvahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to the Jewish people, gave in the public, everybody knows about it, Shabbos, except for Shabbos, that he gave them in private, like it says in Pasuk in Shemais, between me and the Jewish people, nobody else, it's a sign forever, that is again, that Shabbos was not notified to everybody, it was just a private sign between Hashem and the Jewish people. Now, that the Gemara says, if that's the case, nobody else really knew about Shabbos, then the non-Jews should not be punished for not accepting that part of the Torah. Now, we find, as the Gemara says in Masechta Zavei Dezar and Daf Beis, that Kadosh Baruch Hu went to all the nations of the world and asked, will you take the Torah and the mitzvahs? And they said, no and no. And that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish them for not taking that on. Now, if that's the case, why do they get punished for not keeping Shabbos if they were never notified it? Now, the Gemara says, which is why the Gemara introduced this discussion, because one of the answers will be related to what we said before. Shabbos oidu edinu. Oh, of course, everybody knew about Shabbos. Ma'an schara lo edinu, however, the great reward of it, that was not notified, as we said before. That is what the Gemara is saying here. That was only betzinah. That was only between HaKashem sending Moshe to go tell the Jewish people and notify them exactly about the great reward. But everybody knew about Shabbos, and therefore they'll get punished for not accepting Shabbos. Or if you want, the Gemara says another approach is that manschar nami odinu, know that even the great reward of keeping Shabbos, he had notified to the nations too. So what are we saying that was only in sin of Beni Ve'Bnei Yisrael that only Jewish people know about? Neshama Yisrael Lo Yedinu, an extra added dimension of the spirit, of the soul, that was not notified that a person gets that on Shabbos. Only the Jewish people know about that. The Amr B'Shem Malakash, like B'Shem Malakash says, that Neshama Yisrael, which Rashi defines it as an expansion of one's heart to be able to rest and to rejoice and to have an opening for expansiveness, to be able to eat and drink, and that a person shouldn't become disgusted because people eat way more on Shabbos than on other times. Yet still a person has this expansive soul, expansive spirit, that Neisna Kadosh Baruch Hu Ba'odim Erev Shabbos, a person gets on Erev Shabbos, on the evening of Shabbos, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives the person this Neshama Yisera. And when Shabbos leaves, then night and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes it away from the person. Shem, like it says in the pasuk over there that we just quoted, Shavas ve'inofash, that literally that means that Hashem rested and He gave it a soul. Now the Gemara here darshans that, expounds it to mean that woe to the soul that's being taken away, that's leaving now when Shabbos is over, that is kivin sheshavas, since it has already been Shabbos, that Shabbos is over, vai woe, that's the word vai nafesh, is broken up into vai nafesh, vai woe of the nafesh, that we have lost the soul because Nesham Yisera is leaving us. Now the Gemara continues quoting from my Mishnah that said, regarding the halachas of Erev Tavshilin, that Eisa Adam Tavshilim Erev Yomtiv, a person can make a cooked dish from before Yomtiv, and as the Mishnah said, V'samech Lev L'Shabbos, that he can rely on that for cooking on Yomtiv for Shabbos, which is essentially the halacha that is commonly known as Erev Tavshilin, which is allows a person to cook now from Yomtiv to Shabbos. Now Am Abaya qualifies as Lo Yishanu, we didn't learn in that Mishnah that it's going to be a halachic Erev, Ela Tavshil, as it's known as Erev Tavshilin, only if it's a cooked dish. Of a pasloi, but bread will not qualify for the halacha, which we discussed in the previous daf, two different reasons why we instituted the halacha of Erev Tavshilin. Be that as it may, the Gemara says that it can't be that you had already started the cooking from before Yom Tov for Shabbos with bread. It has to be a cooked dish. Now that the Gemara says, Maishna pasloi. Now why would bread be any different if it's considered you started the cooking, baking process from before Yom Tov, that you could cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos, why not bread? So that the Gemara says, Elam and Midi Dimalafas Be'inan, because if you say that it has to be something that's a condiment, something that you eat with, meaning that you take bread and eat it with, where that would be obvious that now why are you making this before Yom Tov, that it's for Shabbos. And Upas Limalafta, now bread is not a condiment, and therefore there's nothing that's obvious about it why you're making it as if you're making it for Shabbos, because every single day people make and prepare and eat bread. And therefore, that's why bread won't qualify for Erev Tavshilin, because this thing has to be obvious why you're doing this. We're starting the cooking for Shabbos. Oh, and therefore, Yom Tov, you could continue that. But bread is not obvious. It's only something that would be like a Tavshil that would be obvious. By that, the Gemara asks, but Vadaisa, Nami Deloy Malafta, Daisa, which is some type of dish with grain, where it's also something that's not a condiment. In other words, it itself is a staple, like bread. Dam Reb Zera, like Reb Zera said, Hani Bavloi Tipshoi, he said regarding the Babylonians, they called them foolish ones. The Achli Nama Ben Hami said they eat bread with bread, because they would eat their grain dish, their daisa, the type of porridge that would be made out of pounded grains, they ate that with bread. So he says, fools, they're eating bread with bread. So we see that it's considered bread, yet V'amr Ab Nechumi Ba'zachari Mishmei Da'abaya, then Ma'arvim Ba'daisa. We could make an air with daisa. Now how can you make an air with daisa if it's the same type of dish like bread? It's not something that you eat with bread, which would be a tavshil, some type of liftin. It's bread. And therefore, why should it be any different than bread if it has to be something that would be obvious, that's not something that you eat every single day, like bread and daisa? So the Gemara says that the qualifying factor is not because it has to be liftin and not bread. The idea is we have to have something that's not so common. Bread is common. Every single day people eat bread. Therefore, that wouldn't be obvious that you're making it for Shabbos. Whereas daisa, this type of dish from pounded grain, is not so common. And therefore, why are you making it? Oh, we're making it for Shabbos. That would be an obvious sign, which is qualified for the halacha of Erev Tavshilin. Igadami, that doesn't say a reverse version. Am Abaye, that Abaye said, Lo yishanu ela tavshil v'pasloi. The main halacha he said was the same, that one can only make a cooked dish for the Erev Tavshilin, but not a piece of bread. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, my time, what's the reason? And here's where it goes reverse. If you say the reason is because you need something that's not so common, so now it's a sign. Like, what are you doing? This is not something that's commonly found. Oh, what are you doing? You're doing for Shabbos. Upashchich, and bread is common, therefore that won't qualify as Erev Tavshilin. But v'hadaisa lo yishchicha, this daisa dish is also not common. Yet v'amr av nechumi ba'zuchari mishmei da'abaya, that ein ma'arv m'daisa. This version has it that one cannot make an heir with daisa. But if we say the reason is because of something that's not common, well, daisa is not common. It's not as eaten every day like bread, and yet still we see you cannot make an heir with it. So ella, rather, this version says that, like the other one's first option, rather, midi dimalaf is be'inan. The reason is because for an eruv, we need something that's a condiment, eaten with bread. It's not a staple like bread. Upas lemalafta, but daisa nama lemalafta, and bread is not a condiment. It's not eaten with something else like bread. And so too is daisa. It's also a staple like bread. As Reb Zera said, Hane bavloi tipshoi, these foolish Babylonians, da'achli nama b'nahama, they go ahead and dip their bread into and they eat it with this daisa, which they're both breads. What are they doing? Eating bread with bread. And again, that's why, according to the second version, that the daisa will not qualify erev tavshilin, just like bread, because they're both not liftin, they're both not a tavshil, they're rather like piece of bread, and that's why it won't qualify. Turn Reb Chiya. Reb Chiya told in the Braisa, Adashim Shebeshuli Kedera, lentils on the bottom of a pot, which were left there unintentionally. Now, Samech Alein, a person could rely on them from before Yomtiv, Mishum Eruv Tavshilin, for the halach of Erev Tavshilin, that we don't say that it's not significant that it's bottle. What's this lentils left over on the bottom of a pot? No, one could rely on it, that is, even though it was made for something else, but now on Erev Yomtiv, you could say that I want this to be, one could rely on it for the halach of Erev Tavshilin. However, this qualifies only if it has alisa kazayas, then it will be valid for the halacha of Erev Tavshilin. Similarly, Amar Yitzchak Greda of Yehuda says, Shamnunish agabe asakin, the fat that's on a knife, let's say one was cutting fats, and on the knife there's some fats, so gaira, you could scrape that off from before yamtiv, the samech lemeshim Erev Tavshilin, you could rely on that for the Erev Tavshilin, this is what I'm setting aside, preparing for Shabbos. This book is again here. It's also only if there's at least a kazayas, then you have already set aside food that you prepared for Shabbos, and therefore you could continue cooking on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Now, related, Amar Vasi Amar Rav, he says, Dagim ketana meluchim, small salted fish, in behem mishum bishul nachim, does not qualify for the iser of bishul nachim, which is when a non Jew cooks food, that makes that food forbidden for a Jew. Now, the Chum made this gezeirah. Now, why do they say that if a non-Jew cooks food, that's forbidden for a Jewish person? Because of chasnas, we're afraid that if we come to so friendly, we start sharing foods, that then we're going to get married, which is forbidden. Then we said, Yenalada, go ahead and get together and eat the food that the non-Jew cooked for the Jew. Now, however, regarding something that's eaten even in its raw state, the Chum did not include that in the gezeirah of Bishul Akum. Now, the reason is because since it's eaten even in the raw state, that this is not really cooking, it doesn't really help anything. Hence, it's not going to endear the person to the non-Jew because it didn't really do anything for you. Now, the same thing applies to these small salted fish because they're eaten raw, and therefore the fact that he would cook them, it wouldn't make it forbidden. Now, related to this, Amar Rabbi Yisuf, he says, V'imtzala nachri, if the non-Jew goes and roasts them, now you could rely on them for the halacha of Erev Tavshilin, which has to be something that you started cooking and preparing, which includes roasting, for Yom Tov, for Shabbos. Now, since it's permitted here to eat, as we said, because they're fit to eat even raw, so the fact that he now roasted them will at least make it now, it was preparation for Yom Tov, and you could rely on that, but it won't make it forbidden because of Bishul Akum, because it's edible even in its raw state. However, v'yavdinu nachri kasu deharsna, let's say if the non-Jew went and cooked for the Jew this dish, which is the fish fats of the fish are fried together with flour. That was a common dish that was made. That if the non-Jew made that, that would be asr. That would be forbidden because of the halacha bishul akum, because the flour is not eaten raw. And therefore, there is a halacha bishul akum on at least the flour component. Therefore, somewhere in here is a forbidden food, and therefore this wouldn't be valid to be used as the Erev Tavshilin because actually it's not edible for the Jewish person because of bishul akum. Now, that part, the Gemara's pshita, it's pretty obvious. What would be the havamin? Why would we think? Of course you can't eat it. The flour is being cooked by the non-Jew. Then the Gemara says, Ma'ad tema, I would have thought to say, and we continue on to Amud Beis, that harshna, that the fish fats, their ikka, they're really the primary ingredient. And hence, since that's primary, that's the right, that's the, and therefore anything else is bottled to that, and on that there's no bishul because that's edible even in its raw state. Kamash Mulan Kimcha ikka, that's the chiddush, and that we say that the flour is primary, and since that is something that is going to be cooked and it's not edible in its raw state, hence it'll be also because of bishul akum, and that's why we can't use that as the Erev Tavshilin. Amar Baba, Eruv Tavshilin Tzurichin Gezayis. This halach of Erev Tavshilin needs to have a measurement of a Gezayis. Now, Ibailu, they asked the following question regarding that halacha. Does that mean kizayis echad lekulon? Let's say there's a whole family, and there's a bunch of people that are being included in this erev tavshin, allowing the cooking. Do we need, is there one kizayis for everybody? And that, is that enough? Maybe every single person that's being included in this heter of cooking, all the family members, that you need a kazayis for every single person, that for them it's as if you prepared for every single person. That's what would be necessary. So Tashma, the Gemara brings a raya, damre baba marav, a ruba tavshilin regarding the halacha of erev tavshilin, tzrichin kazayis bein leechad bein lemeir. You need to have a kazayis, whether it's for one person or for 100 people. What we do see is that even if it's 100 people, it would be enough even with one kazayis, and you don't have to make a kazayis for every single person that's included in the erev tavshilin. Now, the Gemara asks on this halacha of Rebaba that an erev tavshilin needs to be a kazayis from Tanan. We learned in our Mishnah, let's say the erev tavshilin was eaten or lost before you got a chance to continue and make the food for Shabbos on Yom Tov. So then our Mishnah said, lo yavash la betchila, now you're not allowed to go ahead and cook anymore, because that would be considered as if you're initially cooking for Shabbos, because you didn't really have food that you had prepared from before Yom Tov, because that's already lost, and therefore one wouldn't be able to cook now for Shabbos. However, shayim emenek kosher, if at least a little bit of the erev was left over on Yom Tov, then semech lev l'Shabbos, and you can rely on that for Shabbos, and it's as if you started cooking from before Yom Tov, hence you can conclude the cooking on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Now, that the Gemara says, my kolshu, what does it mean that even a little bit amount, lav avagavta like a kezayis, doesn't that sound like even if there's no kezayis, and therefore that's not like Rababa, who said that it has to be at least a kezayis? And the Gemara says, lo, it is a kezayis. No, it's talking about that there is a kezayis. In other words, in reference to a large loaf of bread, a complete whole loaf, so that we're saying kolshu would mean a kezayis, it's in relativity, then it's called a kolshu, but really has to be at least a kezayis. Tashma, the Gemara brings another raya from a braisa. Says Tavshal Zeh, this cooked dish of the Erev has to be either tzali, roasted, or vafilikavish, even if it's pickled in brine or in mustard or in other herbs. Shalik, if it's stewed, which means say that it's cooked a lot, or mavushal, or a regular cooked dish. Bakulia so espanin, or a Spanish mackerel, which is a type of salted fish that's salt. That's soft and it's eaten in its raw state. However, but at least shanasin lav chamim erev Yom Tov, as long as you had washed over warm water on it from before Yom Tov, because actually that is considered cooking of the Spanish mackerel, as the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, where hadachasei, just washing it with warm water, that's already gemar malach, that's already considered cooking that Spanish mackerel. So all these things are considered ways of cooking an item. If you did that from before Yom Tov, that would be valid as an erev tavshilin. Now, that the Braisa qualifies, says, Tchilasai, in the beginning, when you're making this cooked dish, V'sayfein, at the end, if let's say it was eaten from or lost from, but at least part of it was left over, Ein lo shir. There's no measurement how much it has to be. It doesn't make a difference. Oh, now, that the Gemara asks, my love doesn't sound like it's saying Ein lo shir klal, that there doesn't have to be any measurement whatsoever, not how much and nor how little, which that contradicts Rababa, who says that no, it has to be at least the size of a kazayis. The Gemara says, no, it's not a question of Rababa. Ein lo shir lamala, when it says it doesn't have a measurement, it means it doesn't have a maximum amount. In other words, you can increase it as much as you want. Avo yesh lo shir lamata, but there is a minimum measurement going down. In other words, it cannot be less than a kazayis. Another halacha regarding erev tavshilin, Amar Rav Huna Marav. A ruvi tavshilin tzrichin das. Rav Huna says that an erev tavshilin has to have the person's thought process. In other words, he has to know that this is what it was meant for. It can't be that you just happen to be making food every Yom Tov and that, oh, we made food, so I made an erev tavshilin. No, that has to be your intention, saying, look, I'm going to make this food and I'm preparing it for erev tavshilin, so therefore I could conclude making the food on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Now, Rav Huna didn't explain whose das are we talking about, whose knowledge has to be. Now, on that, the Gemara says, let's explain what he was talking about. So what's obvious is that Pshita, what was obvious is that when Rav Huna says you need to have the person's das, his thought, das menich binan, obviously, you need to have the intention of the one who is making it and placing it because he's better, in other words, he's more prominent because he's the one that's making it. Now, the question that we did have was, however, das misha henichulot, regarding the thought of the one that he's making it for. For example, if let's say his friend, he says, look, I'm going to make an erev tavshilin, I'm going to make it for him and him. I want them all to be included that they could go ahead and cook on Yom Tov or Shabbos. Be'inan? Do we need their das? In other words, do we have to tell them and ask them first to say, look, I want to make an Erev Tashlim. Do you want to be included? I want to include you. Do we need their das too? Or maybe we don't need their das. Maybe it's enough with the one who's making it. He can have in mind whoever he wants to have in mind. And we don't have to ask those who are going to be included in it that they should know beforehand that an Erev Tashlim was made for them. So now the Gemara says, Tashema, come in here from the following incidents where Davud Shmuel Ma'arva Kulin Narda, the father of Shmuel would make an Erev Tashlim for the entire city of Narda. Similarly, Rabbami Verabasi, Ma'arva Kula Tveri, they would make an Erev Tavshim for the entire city of Tveria. So obviously, it's only the one that's placing the Erev who has to have the Das. But the ones that it's being made for, the entire city of Tveria and Arda, didn't have to know about it, and it's enough with the Das Maniach. Now similarly, Machar Zeb Yaakov Ar-Idi, he would make an announcement, Mishloi Nich Erev Tavshim, it says, whoever didn't make Erev Tavshilin, says it's okay, Yavav Yismach Ashli, he could come and rely on mine. He was telling everybody in the city on Yom Tov, says okay, even if you forgot, you could rely on mine because I had everyone in mind. Now that's the Gemara's Ad Kama. Now how far does that work? If let's say one person in the one edge of the world, he says, look, I'm going to have the whole world in mind, so everybody could always make it because they're having in mind from him. Now the Gemara says, Amram Nachumim Bazachari Mishmei Dabayam. It's Ad Chum Shabbos. It's up until the boundaries of Shabbos. That is 2,000 ames, where a person's allowed to go out. That's the from wherever that city, from a person's dwelling or from the city, wherever his Tchum Shabbos ends, that is how far the person will be included in that Erev. However, someone that's standing beyond that Tchum, so the person that was making it didn't have in their mind, and he didn't think it enter his mind to have that person in mind, therefore it would be only within, the, for example, the city limits, if it's in the city, within the Tchum Shabbos, but anyone beyond that will not be included in that person's Erev. Now, a story related to this halacha about that it's only you only need the das maniach, and everyone, for example, if the Rav Maiden had everyone in mind, everyone could be including that. Hahu Sami, there was a certain blind person that Masada Masnita Kamida Marshmul, that he prepared Mishnayis and prices in front of Marshmul, who he knew them all by heart, and they would constantly say it over in front of Marshmul. So Marshmul saw that this blind person was sad. Amalei said to him, Amayat Sibis, why you sad? So Amalei says, the lawyer see the Erev Tav Shilin, he says, look, it's Yom Tov, it's going to be Shabbos, and I didn't make Erev Tav Shilin, I'm not going to have to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. So Amalei, so Marshmul told him, look, Samech Adidi, don't worry, rely on my Erev Tav Shilin, because I had in mind, I made the Erev for the entire city of Narda, which was the city, and don't worry, you were included in my Erev Tav Shilin. Now Lashana, the following year, which Rashi says was Rosh Hashanah, where although we say elsewhere that when it's 2 days of Yom Tov, you can make an Erev al Tanai. If today's really the day of Yom Tov, then I'm going to make tomorrow and I could cook. It's a weekday, then I could cook for Shabbos. And if today's really weekday, then I'm making the Erev now. And tomorrow, Friday, which will be the real day of Yom Tov, then I could go out and cook from Friday to Shabbos. Be that as it may, Rashi explains that we're talking about Rosh Hashanah, where he couldn't do this. So therefore, even on the first day of Yom Tov, which is on Thursday and Friday is like one long day of Yom Tov, you can't. It's too late. If you didn't make an Erev from before Yom Tov, you can't make any Erev even al Tanai. Now, so Marshmul saw again this blind person that he was sad. Amalei says to him, I might see this, why are you sad? Amalei said to him, I didn't make an Erev Tavshilin. So Amalei, so Marshmul said to him, you're negligent. So for everybody it's permitted, for you it's forbidden. And that is because not because so much as a punishment, I didn't have in mind those who are negligent and those who are bemazed, they're intentionally not afraid of the words of the sages that said you have to make Erev Tavshilin. And you knew about this. So one time you made an error, but not doing it again, you were negligent, and therefore you weren't included in my Erev Tavshilin, and you cannot cook from on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Nothing more continues with a similar case of the halacha of our Mishnah, which the case of our Mishnah was the case of an Erev Tavshilin, which is when Yom Tov is Erev Shabbos. Friday is Yom Tov and Shabbos is Shabbos. Therefore, that's where the halacha of Erev Tavshilin comes in, because how are you going to have food for Shabbos? If you start the cooking and you set it aside, which is the Erev Tavshilin, on Thursday or Wednesday, depending if it's 2 days Yom Tov, and then you could cook on Yom Tov to Shabbos. Now, related to that, the Gemara discusses a similar halacha of a different Erevin, which not an Erev Tavshilin of cooking on Yom Tov for Shabbos, but rather Erev Tchumen, which is how far a person could walk on Shabbos, and regarding Erev Chatzeres, how if a person could go ahead and carry in different domains on Shabbos. So Tamar Lina Braisa, Yom Tov Shechalias Be'Erev Shabbos, regarding Yom Tov that's on Friday, Ein Ma'arvin, so a person cannot make an Erev on the Yom Tov, Lo Erev Tchumen, not an Erev of Tchumen. Instead, halacha is that if a person wants to go somewhere on Shabbos, he can go only up to 2,000 ames beyond where his residence ends, which either it's his house or if he's in a city where the city ends, then you can go 2,000 amas past that. Erev Tchumen is that then if you want to go 4,000 amas, you put an erev from before Shabbos, which would be two meals worth of food, and then you put it within 2,000 amas, and that's as if that's your halachic residence, and therefore you can go 2,000 amas backwards, which is where you are right now, and 2,000 amas past that. So in that debris saying you cannot make that on Yom Tov for the following day of Shabbos. And below Ruv Chatzeres, neither can you make a Ruv Chatzeres, which Ruv Chatzeres is that Rabbanan said that the different courtyards are forbidden, although biblically that's not the case, but Rabbanan were concerned that then since it's shared by people, you might come to carry into Rosh Hashanah. However, they permitted if one makes a Ruv Chatzeres, which everyone goes ahead and chips in and puts the food in one person's house, that's a Ruv Chatzeres. That the bride says you're not allowed to do that on Yom Tov to be able to carry for tomorrow on Shabbos, because although on Yom Tov you're allowed to carry. However, by doing that, it looks like you're fixing something and you're not allowed to do tikkun, which is the one of the halachas of tikkun mana. You're not allowed to go ahead and finish something off and complete something and fix it. So by doing that, you're going to be fixing domains for Shabbos that you're not allowed to do today on Yom Tov. Rabbi Yehuda, he argues, he says, Ma'arvan Ruv Chatzeres. You are allowed to go ahead and make a Ruv Chatzeres on Yom Tov or Shabbos. However, you're not allowed to make, you're right, like you said, regarding Erev Tchumen on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Now he explains his reason. He says, because you can go ahead, in other words, it's within your rights, your power, chacham, to make forbidden for somebody to do something today, for tomorrow, which is Shabbos, something that actually even today is forbidden, which is Tchumen. That even on Yom Tov, it's forbidden to go beyond one's Tchum. And therefore, I agree to you, Rebbe says, that you're not making Erev Tchumen today on Yom Tov, which is, let's say, go ahead, you're allowed to carry, but you're not go ahead and carry to the edge of the city limits and then go 2,000 amas to put it down, where although you're not going beyond, but you can make that Erev Tchumen, which that own prohibition actually applies in Yom Tov itself. But V'iyata Yisra, you cannot go ahead, in other words, not within your rights, to say it's forbidden to fix something for tomorrow, but Dava Hamutale for something that actually is permitted even today. Which this Isser of carrying between different courtyards does not apply in Yom Tov, because in Yom Tov you're allowed to carry, and since you're allowed to carry, you're allowed to go ahead and make a Ruv Chatzeres today on Yom Tov for tomorrow, which is Shabbos, which although there's no weekday in between, you can go ahead and make a Ruv Chatzeres that everyone chips in the bread and puts on one person's house, and thereby allowing that tomorrow people could carry in the courtyard together. Now, Itmar was learned regarding this machlekes between Rebbe and the Tanakama and the Rabbanan, what's the halacha? So Rava Mahalacha Tanakama, he says halacha is like the Tanakama that says that not only is a Ruv Tchumen forbidden to make on Yom Tov for Shabbos, but even a Ruv Chatzeres you cannot. B'Shmuel Mahalacha Rebbe, B'Shmuel's halacha is like Rebbe, that it is permitted that one could go ahead and make a Ruv Chatzeres at least on Friday, which is Yom Tov, for tomorrow and Shabbos to be able to carry. Now, Ibailu had the following question regarding this that we just said. When Shmuel says halacha is like Rebbe, did he mean halacha like Rebbe l'kula? Did he mean halacha is like Rebbe, a lenient interpretation, like the way we just defined it? Or l'chumra, or a stringent interpretation? Now the Gemara asked him that. What do you mean, pshita l'kula kama? Obviously, he was coming to say as a leniency, because we just explained that Rebbe's interpretation was the more lenient one, that you could make Erev Chatzeres. Now like Tanakama, so when Shmuel says halacha is like Rebbe, what is the question if he's saying it l'kula or l'chumra? So the Gemara says, no, it's not so obvious, because Mishum the Shalach Rebbe Loza Legailer, Rebbe Loza sent to the diaspora, he says, Loi kishatim shayinim b'bavol, not like the way you learn, and you have this Messiah of this Machlekes in Bavol, that Rebbe Matav Acham Ha'isrim, that's not the correct Machlekes that he had, that Rebbe said it's permitted to make Rebbe Chatzeres, and Acham said forbidden. Ela rather, Rebbe Yosef Acham Matim, his version was the opposite. Rebbe's the one that says it's forbidden, and Acham say that it's permitted. Now that's why the Gemara had to ask, when Shmuel said halacha is like Rebbe, did he mean leniently or stringently? Because since Rebbe Loza said that Rebbe actually is a stringent interpretation, but our version is that Rebbe is lekula, that's why we ask, Mike, what's the halacha? When Shmuel said halacha is like Rebbe, which version of the machlokes did he have that he was now defining halacha is like Rebbe? Was that stringently, like Rebbe Loza said, or leniently, like our version was? So the Gemara says, Toshma, come in here from the following story that we'll be able to clarify which version was that Shmuel had. Because the Rav Tachlifi Barav Dimi, Avr Ubde Kavasei de Shmuel, he went and followed and passed in halacha like Shmuel, that halacha is like Rebbe regarding making a Ruv Chatzeres on Friday Yom Tov for the next day Shabbos. Now, V'amar Rav, regarding that halacha, which again is not clear yet in our Gemara, was that a stringency or was that a leniency? Rav said regarding that, he says, oh, the first psak, the beginning of this paskin of Tachlim and Baravdimi from this young Talmud Chacham is like a kula. Already he's making things ruined because Rav argued and he said halach like to Tanakama. Now that the Gemara clarifies. If you say the way our version is that Shmuel was passing the halachas like Rebbe, which was a leniency and saying that you're allowed to make a Rivchat Seiris today on Yom Tippur Shabbos, Sahainikal Kula. Obviously, that's something that is ruining things because he's saying something that's mutter, which is really also. So we can understand that we would hold what he's doing is a kilkel. Eliyam or Lechumra, but if it was that Shmuel had Rabbi Laz's version of Rebbe, which is actually Rebbe's the most stringent opinion, it says that you now go ahead and make a Rivchat Seiris on Yom Tippur Shabbos, so my kakulek, what type of kilkel is? Maybe it's unnecessary stringency, but what type of kilkel is there going to come out? Some type of problems by saying that this is forbidden, that to say that, oh, this Tzurim Rabbanan is really messing things up. What did he do already? He just made an added stringency that you cannot go ahead and make a Rivchat Seiris for tomorrow for Shabbos. Nothing worse is, no, it's not a raya that Shmuel's version was like our version of leniency, because actually you could say like Rabbi Laz's version, that it was a stringency. But kivin mekalkul barab, there is going to be a kilkul. Because since the public, they will cause the kilkul because they're going to forget and they're going to carry tomorrow and Shabbos without an air, because today is Friday, is Yom Tov, and it's carrying and looks like Shabbos. And tomorrow, Shabbos, they're going to carry, and we continue on top of Yedzayim and Alf, hainu kulkulu. Now that's the problem that's going to be caused, because had it been permitted, the way we could say that Rav was saying, like the Tanna Kamma, which was the lenient interpretation, to make an Erev yesterday on Friday, then it would have been permitted to make an Erev, and then people wouldn't have been causing a kilkel by carrying, because actually the Erev would have been up. But he says it's us to make an Erev, and that's why it caused a kilkel, and therefore there's no Raya. It could be Kalkula was actually like this stringent version, but that's causing a kilkel, because now that he says, you know, I'll make an Erev, and now people are carrying anyway, and that's causing a kilkel, because we could have made an Erev and avoided people being Mechal Shabbos. However, Amar Rava, Amar Rav Chizda, Amar Rav Huna, their version is Halacha k'Rebbe v'lesser. Halacha is like Rebbe, and that it's forbidden to make a Rivchat Seiris on Yom Tov Friday to Shabbos, which was like Rabbi Laz's version, that actually Rebbe was a Chumra and not a Kula, and therefore that's how they said Halacha is like Rebbe, as a stringency that one, not only could you not make a Rivchat Chumra on Friday, Erev Shabbos on Yom Tov, but one cannot even make a Rivchat Seiris on Friday, Erev Yom Tov, for the next day of Shabbos.